I only spent about 45 minutes with Phil Martinez at the Southeast Colorado Red Cross, but once I left the phone with Phil, I spent hours looking at the work that the Southeast Colorado Red Cross had done. They have such a great system for recruiting and engaging volunteers. And this wasn't, oh, the Red Cross sent something in a box. These guys really took the systems of the National Red Cross and made it their own. And one of the things that really warmed my heart as I talked to Phil was that the volunteers there don't keep their work in Colorado when disaster strikes. And this is something that you'll hear when you talk to Red Cross chapters. They don't stay in one place. They find the time, the space, the capacity to help people in need who might not even think that much about what the Red Cross does. In my conversations, people take the Red Cross's work for granted. I see this a lot in legacy organizations. They have this really large, young demographic of people who have grown up with that organization as an institution. And whether that's the Red Cross, or the Boys and Girls Club, or the NAACP, it's harder to get younger people to volunteer for organizations like this because they just assume that they've always been around and always will be. It really takes a lot of proactive messaging, metrics-focused presentations for a city council, a more emotional storytelling for individual donors, things that break patterns for people who are younger and not knowledgeable, to engage people at whatever level they're at to understand that the Red Cross is something that's not just, those huge events that you see on the news where there's a telethon and people, send a bunch of money in, but small things that happen in communities and neighborhoods that are just like yours. And, some person in your state or your neighborhood has the worst day of their life, and there's not always a safety net to pick those people up. And on those days and on those times, it's just local neighbors from Red Cross chapters that go to work, not just with those vital supplies, but with just the moral encouragement of knowing that there are people out there who care about you. So when it comes to taking disaster response and recovery, and leveraging it into media, television, radio, events, whether those are holiday events or volunteer recognition events, there's always that pipeline that is there and in place, and it's really interesting to read, to listen to be a part of, and really anything that you do that talks about the Red Cross, that spreads awareness, that encourages people to find those $5 under the seat cushions and give it to your neighbors. It's the kind of work that the Red Cross does. Really enjoy this conversation with Phil, as he talks about some of the life-saving work that this organization does in like the strictest, realest, rawest sense possible. This is a conversation that you're going to leave with a lot of knowledge. So enjoy.
Looking for something. to walk away, and I want her to walk away with a feeling of, wow, you know, they do such amazing work. And, you know, you can't be around for over 142 years without doing amazing work. And all the lives that we've saved, and it's just great. So, but it is a video that I did. I was just deployed to Arkansas for a tornado, and I just came back from Florida from a hurricane, Hurricane Idalia. And while I was in Arkansas, I did kind of a day in the life of what it goes, what it's like to be a part of the Red Cross.
And oh, that's so good. Deployment.
And, you know, and my video is very amateurish, you know, it's very heartfelt. And I interviewed this one lady, and I'll send it to you. It's on Dropbox, but, she was fantastic. I mean, she was 79 years old. She talks about being in that community her whole life, and in a span of 4 minutes, how your life can change. So impactful. My background is over 30 years of broadcast radio for iHeartRadio and Clear Channel. I'm used to creating that theater of the mind, when she talked about 4 minutes, and, you know, I really try to emphasize that because I do a lot of speaking as well, that, you know, think about what takes 4 minutes of your life and how one event can change it forever. She talked about how, you know, her house across the street was okay, but a friend of hers and a renter of hers was across the street, and they found her body out in the front yard with three kids, you know, and you talk about heartbreaking, you know, just the devastation of what a tornado can do, and I want people to feel that and know that the Red Cross is there during your darkest hours, and I want, you know, how can we best, you know, articulate that to people that I'm talking to become financial donors, to become part of my board, to become a volunteer. You know, again, part of my mission is to have this newer community. I want to increase the volunteers there. You know, I do know some of the local television stations, and, you know, being in radio for so long, I do know the radio stations, so whatever I create, I'm sure they would be happy to play for me, pro bono, you know. So there is just, you know, trying to create that story that can compel people to be a part of what we're trying to do. Trying to pursue a volunteer base, for example, in the community that I mentioned to you, we have very few volunteers, very few. I mean, we have five, and we're trying to get that up to at least 100. So, you know, we're my staff and I are meeting today to talk strategy and figure out what do we need to do to make that happen. And part of that is having community presence so we can recruit volunteers, going to some of their city council meetings, going to some of the, you know, a lot of their big events they have, community-minded events. We've got a great relationship with the fire department, obviously, with what we do and what they do. Working with the mayor, working with local media, how to get the word out, going to places so they can come up and ask questions and we can recruit them. Here's what it is to be a volunteer with the Red Cross. Here's what you do. And what you do is could be a variety of different things. For example, if you want to be a part of our disaster team, you know, you'll be going out to home fires, wildfires, whatever emergency there is in Colorado. You know, we'll deploy you to there. For example, I was sent to a hurricane. I was sent to a tornado. And it could be at any time of the night. We're proud to say that we respond generally between 60 and 90 minutes of that call of here's a disaster. We get that from the fire department. And between an hour and a half, our team will be on site. And we will be there with, you know, folks taking, providing financial services to them, providing comfort kits, bringing spiritual people that can kids to get out of that house. Are you prepared? What should you do to prepare? You should have a bag filled with medications, filled with dog food, filled with snacks. You should have a plan. Where do your kids get out? All that should be discussed prior to, of course, that happening. This is where you leave. We give these nice little things out that you put on the refrigerator that shows where to evacuate in the event of a fire. And not only that, where do you meet? Where are the kids going to go? You know, so you just keep people prepared on a proactive level and say, here's where we want you to go. Here's what you need to do in the event of a disaster. Also, you know, we teach people that cooking is a very difficult thing because that's a big start of home fires as well. You know, so you have to make sure that you don't have loose fitting clothes near the fire. Educate people of those type of things, CPR classes, the importance of that. So there's so many elements to what we do. For example, tomorrow, my goal is to cultivate this client who's got the financial capacity to write a big check to the Red Cross.
Yeah.
What we do, 90% of what we do is based upon, you know, folks realizing that, you know what, yeah, I believe in your mission. You know, I want to give $10,000. I want to give $20,000. You know, I want to give $100,000. You know, and it's funny, Brandon, because sometimes I think it's absolutely wonderful because we'll get checks at my office, and it melts my heart every time. People will write a check saying, you know, I saw this TV ad, and here's a check for $5. You know, they give what they can. That's beautiful. And then I'll get a check for $10,000. You know, and so it whatever the capacity of people are able to. Two sisters, they lived in a small house, and there was 10 people in that house, Brandon. And during the peak of the hurricane at 7:30 a.m., they were all huddled in the middle of their room, just praying for the best. A 10-month-old child was in there, and the roof came off their house. So they had to run outside, 150-mile-per-hour winds, and just huddle around a tree that they would hope would just not, you know, fall down. So it's those type of experiences that I talk to that I want people to understand. You know, this is, you know, what we do. You know, we are there. We go in there before the storm, anticipating that what it's going to do, and then we're there for what we call PRR, prepare, respond, recover. So we're there for the recovery part of it, with a proactive approach with the preparation, and of course, we're responding to it in real time. I'll give you a Colorado example. There was a wildfire that we had. This was an apartment fire. There was probably 300 apartments. And it was catastrophic to a lot of those folks. And I talked to a 68-year-old man who just cried in my arms and lost everything. He was talking about his wife's pictures. He had lost his wife due to cancer. He talked about his kids' pictures. He talked about, you know, everything that was important to him is just gone. And I want people to feel that. That's what we do, being there for people during their darkest hours. I talked to a couple that survived the hurricane. And I said, at its peak, well, you know, tell me how much water did it inundate? And they said, well, we had to go up to our second floor, and we were scared because it hit 10 feet. And the waves from that 10 feet was 4 to 5 feet above that. So, you know, visualize how tall you are, and then visualize, you know, it's essentially two people on top of, you know, on top of each other, and that's what you have to go through. You know, so it's just telling the story because I believe that has the most impact of what we're trying to do. Yeah, I think that's accurate. You know, it does. The, here's another example of changing hats and shifting the message to reach the audience. I have to give a presentation to the city council on, you know, what we do. And it'll be a little different than what I say to the donor. You know, it'll be more metrics-based, because city council wants to know how many do you impact every day, every year, every month. They want the numbers to see that, wow, that's a lot of people that you impact. So it'll be, the message will be more metrics-based versus, you know, there'll be storytelling as well, but it'll be focused more on the number side, and it'll be focused more on you know, here's what we do, here's how we do it, and here's why we need the help and support of the city council. Well, let me ask you this. This event is December 14th, and it is going to be an event that will have, you know, 5-star generals, 4-star generals. We'll have the mayor. We'll have dignitaries, and we're going to have most importantly our volunteers. We're going to have, because without them, we couldn't do anything. So it's really recognizing them. It's our holiday gala and volunteer recognition celebration. So we're going to have, folks giving out awards for the volunteers, talking about the impact that they've had, you know, on the organization this year. We'll have some, you know, dignitaries and some celebrities, local celebrities, talk about, you know, the importance of their work as a volunteer. And it'll just be a great time to, you know, break bread and have fun and discussion, you know, and enjoy